Coming up, it's a phone explosion. Galaxy Note 5, the OnePlus 2, the Galaxy Grand Prime, and something to turn those new phones into a desktop. You've got to watch before you buy.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Before You Buy is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
Before You Buy is brought to you by the Ring Video Doorbell. With the built-in HD camera and microphone, you can monitor your front door from anywhere in the world using your smartphone. It's like being home even when you're not. Right now, get $10 off the Ring Video Doorbell when you go to ring.com/beforeyoubuy. And by FreshBooks, the super simple cloud accounting and invoicing solution designed to help small business owners save time billing and get paid faster. Try it for free at freshbooks.com/BYB. Well, hey, it's time for Before You Buy, TWiT's product review show, where we take the latest and greatest gadgets and gizmos here at the TWiT Brick House in Petaluma, and we give them out to members of the staff, to the TWiT Army, to the people who can give you the most honest reviews possible. Now, speaking of honest reviews, there were quite a few phone products released this week, so this episode is going to be very phone-centric. I think we need to start it off with the granddaddy of these phones, the big papa, the one that a lot of people have been waiting for. It's Leo Laporte and the Galaxy Note 5.
So I, you know what I did the other day? I gave John C. Dvorak my Moto G. Am I dumb or what? I really like that phone. $200. It has all the nice Motorola features and a pretty pure Android. But the reason I did it is because I knew I was getting a new phone today. I'm a big fan of the Galaxy Note, the Samsung Galaxy Note. I've had the 1, the 2, the 3, and this is the 4. I brought it along because I thought we could compare it with the new Galaxy Note 5, which just came in the mail today. So I'm very excited about that. Unfortunately, Samsung, as they have done in the past, unlike some of the other carriers like One or the manufacturers like OnePlus and Motorola, Samsung only sells through U.S. carriers or your local carrier. So I had to go to AT&T and buy this phone, which means I have just extended my AT&T contract for another 2 years. You're welcome, AT&T. But on the other hand, I was able to get it pretty darn quickly, which is nice. I'm still waiting to order the Moto X Pure Edition. I'm still waiting, even though I've ordered it, for the OnePlus 2. So the Moto G was the closest I could get to a new generation phone until just now. This is, the Galaxy Note 5. By the way, I also ordered a flip cover for it. They are not yet offering the type keyboard cover. I don't know if I really want the keyboard cover. After reading some of the reviews, it sounds terrible. But I did think that this might be a great phone. Now, one of the reasons I liked the Notes all along was with their removable backs, you're able to put in an SD card and buy extra batteries. And that really helps, especially since the Galaxy Note 4 didn't have the greatest battery life in the world. The new Note 5 does not have SD card support. That's something Google probably likes. They don't want to have Android using SD cards. There are issues, security and otherwise, that come up with SD cards, performance issues. I'm not going to be able to open this very elegantly, I'm afraid. But the other thing that really concerns me with the new Galaxy Note 5 is that it's not a removable battery. And this battery is 10% smaller than the battery in the Galaxy Note 4. What's battery life going to be like? Well, I won't have a report for you until Friday's Before You Buy it. I'm going to use this phone as hard as I can until then. But looking at it, it doesn't look so very different from the Galaxy Note 4. Here's the Note 4. You can see it's got a little more rounded corners. It's a little bit smaller. The screen size, 5.7 inches. Seems like everybody's decided that's just about the right size. And I have to agree, 6 inches is just a little bit too big. So if you want a phablet, 5.7 seems to be the choice. I'll put the back on. One of the advantages, of course, of not having a removable battery and SIM card is you don't have to stick with a removable plastic back. You can do what Samsung has done and have a nice glass, a Gorilla Glass 4 back. That's what they've done on this one. Let's turn it on and see how the screen is. Samsung uses incredibly beautiful AMOLED screens on their Galaxy phones. And I have to say, they are the best screens. My Galaxy S6 Edge screen just blows me away every time I look at it. It's just so gorgeous. The other thing I'm excited about is on this Note 5, they've used the same camera as the Galaxy S6, which is an excellent camera with optical image stabilization, 13 megapixels. Yeah, you can see how bright that screen is. It's actually blowing our camera out. I'll do the rest of the sign-up later. Comes out of the box with 76% battery, enough for that. It feels good in the hand. This is kind of... I didn't get the S6 Edge Plus because I felt like the curved screen wasn't all that useful on the S6. I mean, in almost every respect, this is very similar to the S6 Edge Plus. The same processor inside, 4 gigs of RAM. They've got that octo-core Exynos processor. Actually, they have dual processors, a fast one when you need the speed and a slower one for when you don't to save battery life. And, of course, the biggest difference on Note phones is the stylus. It pops out now, which is different. The old one had a little rib on it, and you would have to use your finger to pry it out. And it's also, it's still plastic, but it's a little bit prettier plastic. Let's pop out the new stylus. And you can see it's just a little bit more attractive. Same functionality, though. So I will have a full review for this Friday on Before You Buy, but I thought you'd like to see it now. This is the Galaxy Note 5, brand new from Samsung. They announced it last week. And thank you, AT&T. I was able to buy it almost immediately and make it mine so I can give you a nice review. Feels nice. It's a little bit more elegant. I think Samsung's trying to compete with the iPhone in that regard by making a more elegant phone. Full review to come. Thank you.
There you have it. It's a first look unboxing of the Samsung Note 5. From Papa Leo Laporte. Now, if you like the Samsung Note series, if you're a fan of the Note 2, 3, 4, etc., you're probably going to like the 5. It's a lot of the same, but Leo's going to give us an in-depth review. How does it handle? How does it feel? Is it any better than the Note 4? Does it have better battery life or worse battery life? If you've got those questions, and I know you do because you're watching Before You Buy, then you need to stay tapped because he's going to give us a full review in just a bit. Now, when we come back, we've got yet another unboxing. I told you that this was a big week for phones. Leo got his hands on the OnePlus 2. That's right. It's hard to get, invite only, unless you do one of their competitions. But he managed to get that in addition to the Note 5. Let's see it side by side, and maybe that's the phone you want for your next handset. But before we do that, let's go ahead and take a moment to thank the sponsor of this episode of Before You Buy. And it's the Ring Video Doorbell. Now, what is the Ring Video Doorbell? It's a doorbell. Now, you might be asking yourself, why do I need a video doorbell? What in the world could I do with this that I can't do with just a little thing that I have in my house right now? Well, this is what the kit looks like. And the first thing you should notice is that it gives you everything you need, from the screws to the drill to the bits to the level. And yes, of course, this, the Ring Video Doorbell. Now, this device isn't just something that you install so that you know when people are at the front of your house. It's also a security appliance. More than that, it's a peace of mind. Now, let me point out something that I really, really like. This little mounting bracket, this connects to house power so that you can power the doorbell off of the same power that you have going to your doorbell switch right now. But if you don't have that, or if it's a new installation, on the back of the unit, they have this. It's a micro USB connector. A one full charge will actually keep the Ring Video Doorbell charged for an entire year. The way that it works is that it connects to your home Wi-Fi system, and whenever someone comes within, the perimeter that you set, 5 feet, 10 feet, 60 feet of the front door, you're going to get a notification. Now, not only will you get a notification, but you can answer a call from your front door just like you would on your phone. I got this for my parents. It was a peace of mind for me because I was worried about their house getting cased. So what I did was I installed a Ring Video Doorbell at our home in Las Vegas, and now it means that I always have a video representation of the people who are coming up to the front door. I can see those who ring the bell, who don't ring the bell. I can even find out what happens, like, for example, when this UPS delivery guy drops a package in front of the door. And I can download it to my phone, so I always have video evidence. Folks, this is like caller ID for your home, and I got to tell you, it's a great way to up your security game if you're worried about your loved ones. Now, by using the Ring.com app, you can answer calls. You can see who's coming to your house from anywhere in the world from your phone. Now, it also does night vision, so it's not like the cover of dark is going to keep you from seeing the people who want to do you ill. Installing takes just minutes, and it comes with everything you need. I'm telling you, if you want to upgrade your house, start with your door. Right now, you can get $10 off the normal price of the Ring video doorbell. Protect your home and have peace of mind with Ring. Go to ring.com/beforeyoubuy. That's ring.com/beforeyoubuy. And we thank Ring for their support of Before You Buy. Well, folks, as promised, it's time to move on to the next unboxing. Of course, with our very own Papa Leo Laporte. He got his hands on a OnePlus 2, and when he opened it up, this is what he found.
Oh, the new Windows Phone is here. The new Windows Phone is here.
Looks like a Verizon box, though.
No, it does, doesn't it? But it is not. It is a non-carrier box.
Leo, I need one of these phones.
Why?
What phone is that?
A OnePlus 2.
OnePlus 2.
Oh.
That makes
I'm
going to
name
three.
It 3.
So, you may continue to talk and say how jealous you are, Paul Theroux, of my brand.
Screw you, Laporte.
I need, you know what? Paul, do you keep, as many cocaine addicts do, one finger long just for opening?
No, I have many sharp implements nearby. I travel with literally a set of, like, SIM tools.
That's a great idea. I do have a SIM puller, a SIM pusher on my... on my keychain, but I should have, like, box cutter on my keychain. So this is the OnePlus 2, which was somewhat delayed. They put it up for order, and I was lucky enough to get an early invite thanks to Jeff Jarvis, who met one of the founders in line at their New York event. And they handed out, like, credit card invites, so I was able to order it.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
And then it was a little delayed because they said they intimated they were having trouble with the Type-C connector. So that's one thing that's unusual about this phone. It's the first phone with a Type-C charger. Unfortunately, it's not a full Type-C. It's not USB 3. It's still USB 2.
Oh, I didn't even know you could do that.
Yeah, well, it's just a physical, basically, it's just a physical connector. They haven't done anything else but give it a good physical connector. Stereo speakers on the bottom. This, you know, I was a big fan of the original OnePlus One. It was one of the best phones, I thought, of 2014, primarily because of great battery life. And it's interesting. They seem to have kept some of the aspects of the original. It's still got that pebbly back. It's the same screen, a 1080p 5.5-inch screen. Trying to find out if there's... I often forget to remove these little plastic things. I was really embarrassed reviewing a phone a few months ago when I forgot to remove the plastic thing from the camera. I was saying, well, the camera's not great.
It's just a little hazy.
And Jason Howell said, you know, if you take the plastic off there, it's going to work a lot better.
The last thing it needs is another plastic lens.
I believe 16 megapixels, laser focusing. That's the laser. And... Apple invented this, but now everybody's doing it. The two-tone flash that kind of adjusts for white balance. And a little bit nicer metal. But you know what I really like, and I think you guys
are
going to like
this? But
there's
no Touch ID.
There is. It's got Touch ID on it.
Oh, okay.
And that's Apple's name for fingerprint reader. It's a fingerprint reader. This is great. And this is another idea from Apple. This is the silence switch. But a little different from Apple in one respect. There are, on Android 5.0... three statuses. There's completely silent, priority calls only, or an all calls. And this has three indents, so you can set from this physical switch, you can set those three situations. What OnePlus is doing, they've severed their relationship with Cyanogen. So instead of Cyanogen Mod on these phones now, it's Android. Well, they call it their Oxygen OS, but it's really just a...
Yeah, but you can do Google Play.
Yeah, it's a very minorly modified Android 5.1.1. The couple of differences are have to do with gestures and tapping and things. But as you can see, this is Lollipop.
Yeah, it's stock.
Yeah, that's as stock as you can get Lollipop.
It's nice though. That's almost like a Nexus device.
You know, it's about the size of a Nexus and kind of the feeling of a Nexus 5. Here's the cool thing. This is under $400. So for half what I paid for this premium Galaxy Note 5, which is...
Which, by the way, in the next 12 months is going to be a bigger deal because we're going away from contracts.
People are going to be aware of what they're paying. Exactly. So, a little smaller screen, not high as resolution. The Note 5, I'm getting about 15 or 16 hours of battery life in my use. And but you know,
nice picture of the Musée d'Orsay.
Wow, you are good. That is exactly what that clock is. You get the travel award of the year. See, that was at Fingerprint ID, which is nice. All right, well, there you go. This is, we should check and see. I hope they include a Type-C charging cable in here.
Oh, yeah. Oh, they have a cool red one. That's right. Yeah,
it's that. And actually, there's one other thing that makes this phone a little bit unusual is this cable, because not only is the Type-C connector reversible, so is the USB connector.
Yeah.
Isn't that funny? I don't know why nobody's done that before. So you can't stick it in the wrong way either way, on either side. But no fast charging on this, no wireless charging, and most strangely, no NFC. So Google Wallet Tap to Pay won't work on this, which is a little disappointing.
That's weird.
But I'm told a good fingerprint reader and so forth. Well, I'm gonna insert, and notice dual SIM slots, because this is an international phone. All right, there
I
you go.
I want one.
A OnePlus 2. Is it one better? My review will appear on Before You Buy in the weeks to come. It's three. It's one better. Thank you for letting me do that. A fine unboxing.
I have really enjoyed my OnePlus 1, so I can only hope that Leo comes back with a verdict on the OnePlus 2, that it's the next phone if you're looking for a non-standard corporate Android experience. Oh, so far, we've taken a look at the flagship. We've taken a look at the flagship killer. Now joining us is Miriam Jawar, who's taking a look at the family sedan of new releases.
Yeah, actually, you know, I don't know what you said about the OnePlus 2 being so hard to get, really.
So everyone except me has a OnePlus 2?
Pretty much. I thought it was par for the course. If you're a phone reviewer today...
I feel special now.
actually, you know, I'll be fair. This is a review unit from OnePlus, so it's the global model, which doesn't do LTE in the U.S.
Right.
So I don't fully win.
Yes.
Well, I win because I didn't pay for it.
That's always a good thing.
But I don't get to keep it, as
but,
you know.
But, I'm still perfectly happy with my OnePlus One. But the question is,
yes,
this
the
is
Toyota
the
Corolla
Samsung Galaxy. Okay, wait, let's not start on a down note here. We do want to give it its day. This is the Samsung Galaxy Grand Prime? What is this?
So it's like, it's a mouthful of terribleness already in the name, right? So just a bit of history. The Galaxy Grand, back in the day when you had like 4.5, 4.7-inch flagship phones, that phone came out as a mid-range, large-screen phone that to kind of match the flagships, but not in terms of specs.
Got it.
And so then Samsung had a whole thing of they adding Prime to phones that were slightly improved over the previous year. And so now we have the disaster of a phone that's 5 inches, which is pretty much standard, par for the course, even in the mid-range, that is called Grand, but is no longer really Grand, and is Prime because it's been slightly improved over last year's Sprint model. So this is on Sprint, just
this
so you
sounds
know.
Like a study group gone wrong. It's
exactly.
Like, well, what words sound best? Let's put them all together.
Correct.
Okay.
And so this is available on Sprint in the U.S. today for about $239 off contract. You know, let's walk through what it is and what it is. So it looks very much like the industrial design of Samsung's
it's all plastic.
It's all plastic. Removable back cover, removable battery, 2600 milliamp hour, micro SD under there, which you're going to need because there's only 8 gigs of built-in storage.
Yes.
Ouch.
Wow. Okay.
And as you can see, everything, even the fake metal on the edges, it kind of looks like a Galaxy S5 or a Galaxy S4 or a Galaxy S2, any Galaxy Pass, basically. Mm. So not too many points in terms of industrial, which is what I like to call it the Toyota Corolla of phones, because it's very competent, but extremely kind of generic. It just fits in,
not a bad thing, right? Like, I mean, sometimes you don't need a phone that's excellent if it's going to be at a good price point and you get something that's decent in
In terms of industrial design, if you want a phone that really flies under the radar, nobody will notice, this is the phone. So very beige in that sense.
Okay.
But this would all be great, but unfortunately, spec-wise, this phone just doesn't live up to what's available today in that price range.
All right, so what does it have?
So it has a 5-inch display, but you think most devices in that price point are 720p
it's
today,
a little dim.
Right?
First of all, it's dimmed down.
It's super dim. It has no auto brightness.
Okay.
And secondly, it's a QHD, not large Q, small Q.
Right.
So 540 by 960 pixels
That's
on a 5-inch display.
Wait, what?
Ouch, right?
No.
it's an LCD. It's not an AMOLED. As you know, Samsung's AMOLEDs, right, even at low dot per inch, are pretty decent. So this thing looks kind of meh. Oh,
but LCD does do better than OLED outdoors.
Not really with this one.
Really?
As you see, this is maximum brightness. We're indoors. And it doesn't do auto brightness.
So they managed to get not as high a resolution, not as high of a brightness as an OLED, but it still doesn't get the outdoor advantage.
Honestly, is a display worthy of a $100 phone.
Yeah.
It is that bad.
Okay.
Viewing angles, as you can see, are non-existent.
What about the other specs? So I know 8 gigabytes of memory.
8 gigabytes.
What about the processor?
1 gig of RAM. Snapdragon 410, which is a pretty decent processor.
Right, right.
It's a really solid mid-ranger. That's what the Moto G has. That's what a bunch of the mid-range phones has. In the back is an 8-megapixel autofocus camera with an LED flash, and you see the speaker here. You have your usual stuff, a power lock key here, a little thing to put your finger to pull
it
the cover off.
It seems a little thick for a phone. It is pretty thick.
It's like 9 millimeters, almost centimeter. 3.5-millimeter headphone jack, volume rocker, and micro USB charge and data. So pretty much standard stuff all the way around. It's got a 5-megapixel selfie front cam, which is nice. And lo and behold, you know how we've been complaining about the lack of NFC even on the OnePlus 2 and on the Moto G and on a whole bunch of phones that are mid-range. This has an NFC for some reason.
I don't understand that. Why would you take that feature off of some of your flagships and then put it into your low-end?
Well, Samsung always has NFC pretty much. But it's interesting to me that this phone, after all the complaining we've done about the lack of NFC recently, does have it.
Has NFC.
What else? I mean, you know, it's on Sprint, so it's got LTE on Sprint, Wi-Fi, BG.
Decent processor, so it's got to feel
the process,
good.
It feels competent. It's got TouchWiz as the UI, as you can see here. It's a little heavy-handed. It's the old version of TouchWiz. It does, one advantage is it does run a more recent version of Android, which is nice. I think it's like 5-point-something.
Is this going to be available in all bands in the United States?
No, this is Sprint only.
This is Sprint only.
You know, got weird LTE on weird bands and CDMA. Mm-hmm. You can't unlock it. So here's the thing. You're going to say Moto G, right? Well, Moto G can't work on Sprint, so you're kind of stuck a little bit. But here's the thing. The Aquos Crystal from Sharp came out last year. Look at this thing. With a 720p 5-inch panel that is
sexy.
completely edgeless. Brian, can you give us some other photos of it if you can find some? There you go. Look at that sexiness. Okay?
And what's the price
Guess
on
what?
That?
Same processor, 1.5 gigs of RAM, still only 8 gigs of storage, but micro SD, a bigger battery, a better camera, better display, and the same exact price on Sprint.
Okay, yeah, that's a problem.
Why would you buy this?
Unless you're really sold on the Samsung name, or you really like that combination of
Galaxy
Grand
Prime. I've had this display. It is so bright. It's IPS. It's one of the brightest and nicest displays, and it's complete edgeless, which looks really sci-fi. Now, it has no
here.
NFC. So, boom. Huh?
Okay. That's, if you really want NFC, this is your phone.
This is the phone on Sprint for $239.
Okay, break it down for me. Give me the pros and the cons.
Look, it's hard to break down a turd, but... this is nothing personal. I think, obviously, Sprint has some good choices. We've gone over them. Just Samsung hasn't tried with this, and I don't think they care. I think for them, they're just pushing their brand out. There's really nothing about this phone that I really like. The only thing it has is NFC in that price range. So that's a pro. And then the processor is actually quite decent. That's also a pro. But everything else is a con. And to me, the biggest cons are the display. And, you know, the look and feel. To me, honestly, so many phones at that price point are better made and feel nicer and the materials look better that you just... I don't want to go there, right?
Now, if they were to, say, drop the price on this phone by $100, does it then become viable?
Then it's absolutely viable.
Okay. So it's a decent phone. As you said, it's the Corolla.
It's perfectly serviceable.
But not
this phone
price.
Will probably drop really well and survive, you know, probably splashes in the water even. It's not water resistant or anything. But I think it's going to be rugged. It's going to be get the job done. It's got all the basic things you need. You can watch videos at, you know, well, I guess not at HD because the screen isn't HD. So I was going to say you can watch HD videos. It'll be downscaled.
No, not really.
So, wait, I
have to ask this. Is this a buy, try, or don't buy this turd?
Look, it's a don't buy because it's like there's no even A for effort here. It's like either lower the price to this. It should be $99. Contract free, and then it would fly off the shelves. But I think it's regrettable. I just wish that, you know, I know Samsung can do so much better, so that's why I'm hard on them. Because they're, you know, look at what they've done with the Note 5, the GS6 recently. absolutely gorgeous phones. You're going to say they're super expensive. Why not take all this effort, cut a few corners, and bring it down to this magical, sweet $200 to $300 price point that everybody,
maybe
right?
If they drop NFC, it'll take
everybody
off the price.
Is fighting in right now.
Right. There you go. There you have it, Miriam Jouar, our phone expert. Unfortunately, the Toyota Corolla of new phones, the Samsung Galaxy Grand Prime,
yeah, it's
Grand
hard.
Prime. Is a don't buy. Now, if they drop this $100, you will change that to buy.
I would say try, because I'd have to evaluate what else is on Sprint at that price point, right? Yeah.
And if it comes free, then
yeah. I mean, look, if you, for some reason, are into contracts, which, you know, I'm always assuming, everything about this show is, I assume you guys are some tech-savvy, nerdy folk, and you're not going to get a contract. You're going to try to avoid a contract at all costs. To me, and more people even buy their phones now contract-free, even though they have the option of a contract, which is smart. Finally, we're getting to the point where people are realizing they're going to save money over time by upfronting the cost of their phone. But I wouldn't upfront the cost of that phone.
Right. If you're going to upfront the cost, go buy yourself that Sharp phone.
That Sharp phone is really awesome. On Sprint, it's one of my favorite choices right now.
There you have it. Miriam Jouar. Of course, you're going to find her here on the Twit TV network always on Before You Buy. Anytime we have a new phone, we have to bring her in. Also on All About Android, you're a regular guest.
I'll be there on Tuesday.
On Tuesday.
We're going to talk OnePlus 2 and Note 5, of course.
Yeah, big phone news. But of course, if they want to find your other work, where do they go?
So my Twitter handle should be on the bottom there somewhere. It's Tankerl, T-N-K-G-R-L. Think of the comic book character, drop the vowels, and you'll find me on the internet. Basically, that's where my Twitter is. A bunch of my other handles. I didn't get it everywhere, but it's pretty close. And my blog is tankerl.com, T-N-K-G-R-L.com. I do a podcast there. If you want more phone, you want to hear more of my madness, God forbid, you never know, go there.
We always need more madness. Miriam, it is always an absolute pleasure.
Thank you.
And thank you for your insight and for holding on to the Corolla for us.
Yeah, it's no worries. I mean, you know, that's what you do. You review phones. There you go, guys.
Now, coming up next, we want to give you some headphones, but we also want to give you a little device that will take any of these new phones. We talked about three phones today, and we'll turn it into something that approximates desktop or laptop functionality. But before we do that, let's go ahead and take a moment to thank the second sponsor of this episode of Before You Buy, and it's FreshBooks. Now, let me ask you this. Do you run your own business? Because if you do, you're probably like me, and the most frustrating part of running that business is handling the finances, specifically handling the billing. It is a pain. After all, no matter what you are, if you're a creative professional, if you're a service professional, if you're a network engineer, you want to focus on the thing that you're good at, not at the thing that keeps you up at night because you're not getting paid. That's what FreshBooks does. They take care of all the financial stuff that you shouldn't have to worry about it. Now, FreshBooks is the invoicing solution that makes it incredibly simple for freelancers to create and send invoices, track their time, and manage their expenses. And if you want, you can try it free for 30 days to see if it's right for you. During that free trial, you'll immediately understand why over 5 million people use FreshBooks to keep their small businesses running smoothly. It's incredibly easy to use, even for those of us who feel like a fish out of water when working with numbers. FreshBooks was designed especially for people who prefer to focus on the work, not on paperwork. Help is free at FreshBooks Forever, and you can always count on their award-winning support. Their rock stars go above and beyond whenever you need a hand, and I wish I had had this when I was still running my own business. I had a very successful business, but one of the problems I had, and actually I know Leo had the same problem, was that invoicing was always a hassle. I was using a custom macro I had created in Excel, and sometimes I didn't send them out on time. Sometimes I didn't get paid, but I was never informed that I didn't get paid. Well, why would I want to have to do that? Why would I want to personally handle that paperwork or hire someone to do that paperwork when I could just use a service like FreshBooks? Now, here's what we want you to do. We want you to try FreshBooks for free. Getting started is simple, and it's totally free for 30 days with no obligations. Go to FreshBooks.com/BYB. That's FreshBooks.com/BYB. And don't forget to enter Before You Buy in the How Did You Hear About Us section. Start your 30-day free trial today, and we thank FreshBooks for their support of Before You Buy. Now, we will bring you that little device that will expand the functionality of your phone. But before that, we decided to give Mike Elgin a little set of over-the-ear headphones. And this is what he found.
Hey, thanks. It's Mike Elgin, the news director here at Twit. And today I'm talking about the Grain Audio over-ear headphones, which are very nice looking at first glance. And this is from a small company in Pennsylvania called Grain Audio. They actually began with a Kickstarter in 2013. You may remember them in the news from that Kickstarter project. Now, there's a concept called technobiophilia, which is when somebody loves technology that's made with natural materials. We see this on the OnePlus One. We see it on the Moto X. And you can also see it on these headphones. Now, these have real, genuine walnut, and that's real wood. It's hand-oiled. And this, again, is made by this small company. And that's a very attractive feature for some folks. We're going to talk immediately about two aspects of these headphones that are pretty interesting. One is the price. It's $199 for this pair of headphones. And number two is the fact that these are so light. You think, well, they're wooden headphones. They're going to be kind of on the heavy side. These are almost weightless. They are incredibly, incredibly light. So those are the first things you notice when you start playing with these headphones. Now, these are, of course, true over-the-ear headphones. If you look at the size of the ear hole here, this will entirely cup your ear. And they're deep, too, so it's not like you feel any of the insides pressing against your ears. Your ears are confronted with nothing but sound and empty space inside those cups. Now, they've got 40 millimeter drivers in each ear, and this is a proprietary driver that has been developed by Grain Audio, and that's one of their claims to fame, is this proprietary technology for the speakers themselves. Now, these actually provide some really good sound. They have a conspicuous loud bass with no distortions. You can turn it all the way up and you're not going to get any distortions. And you also have a pretty nice balance for the mids and the highs against that bass. So you're going to get plenty of bass, but it's not going to overwhelm and silence the mids and highs. You can hear everything. And it's tailored for a broad range of music styles. So it sounds as good with, like, say, classical music as it does with punk rock or with electronica or with pop music or with whatever. It is clearly not optimized for audio. So if you use headphones for listening to podcasts, it's not great for that. The sound is not that great. Now, let's get right into the pros and cons. The first pro is that the wood is a nice feature. It looks pretty nice on here. It's pretty good sound. Again, this is not the highest range of headphones. There are much better sounding headphones on the market. There are also a lot of headphones on the market that sound worse than this. These are good, solid sounding headphones. And, there's something you would only complain about if you really want a super high quality audio experience. And again, one of the pros is that it sounds good across musical styles. So if you have an eclectic sensibility for music, then you're not going to find that your headphones are poorly optimized for one style or another. They're also incredibly quiet for people who are near you, for innocent bystanders. You know, sometimes you put on headphones and you play music and everybody can hear it. With these, the ear cups will actually successfully muffle the sound, so only you will be hearing the music, and that's a nice feature. Now let's look at the cons. The cons are, the first con, and I think it's the mother of all cons for this product, is that they're too expensive. $199, the quality of sound you get is comparable to a set of headphones that you would see with a headphones ranging from under $100 to $150 range. And so there's a mismatch between the price you pay. It's a premium price, but they're not quite premium enough as headphones to justify that price. The other problem is that they don't feel super premium. And the reason for that is that, you know, the materials are a mixed bag. The wood is very nice. The leather on this part of the headphones are very nice. But this part, this plastic, feels like cheap plastic. It feels like almost the kind of plastic that would be used in disposable products. And it doesn't look good. It doesn't feel good. It's not a premium material. And that kind of spoils the whole concept of having wood in a headphone, because the whole point of wood is that this is part of a premium material product. So that is a problem. And the third con is that they're not that comfortable to wear. They're comfortable enough, but I've worn much more comfortable headphones. That is definitely a con. So try, buy, or don't buy. I'm giving this a don't buy. And the reason I'm giving it a don't buy is simply because there are two reasons to have wood in headphones. One of them is that it improves the sound. Okay. The use of wood in these headphones does change the sound. You can tell there's something woody about the sound, but it doesn't necessarily improve the sound. I don't think the sound is fantastically better because of the wood. The second reason you would use wood is for the appearance. And of course, this looks nice. The wood part of it looks nice. But the headphones overall don't look nice because of this cheap plastic. You can even see that, you see the seam on this. I don't know if the if you have a high resolution screen, but you can actually see this rough seam on the plastic. It's poorly molded. It's just a cheap plastic. So the overall look, and I also don't like the way the gray looks with the wood. I think this should be a black or something like that. Gray and wood together don't necessarily look that good. So you're paying a premium for something that is made better sounding and better looking because of the wood, but it neither looks significantly better nor does it sound significantly better because of the wood. So that extra money you're paying is not worth the money. It's better to buy the Sennheiser HD 558, which is comparable sound at half the price. You don't have wood, but again, it's a great sounding pair of headphones, and so I cannot recommend these. That is my review of the Grain Audio Solid Wood Over-Ear Headphones. My name is Mike Elgin, and back to you.
So great headphones, as long as you don't like a high price, as long as you do like a high price and bad quality audio. Evidently, plastic plus wood plus too much money equals a don't buy for the Grain Audio Over-Ear Headphones. We thank Mike Elgin for his review. Don't forget, you can find Mike here on the Twit TV network every weekday at 10 o'clock a.m. Pacific time for Tech News Today. Now, let's go ahead and move on to, well, a little parting shot. Remember, a parting shot is something, a product that wouldn't normally get its own full review, but has some utility or some interesting features that we want to bring up on Before You Buy. In this case, it's the Giorno. Now, this is a fold-away keyboard that can turn any of your phones, especially if you've got something with a really big screen, something like a OnePlus One or a OnePlus Two or even a Note 5, and give it the functionality of a more full-size computing device. This is a Bluetooth keyboard that folds away so that when I need to go, I can just travel like so. Now, what I've liked about this device is that it has accompanied me for the last 3 months, so I was able to have a long-term view of how this would handle the rigors of travel. Hey, Brian, push the magic button.
The Giorno is a compact, folding, wireless keyboard designed to accompany your phone, tablet, or other Bluetooth-enabled device. Weighing less than half a pound and measuring just 5.7 inches by 3.5 inches by 0.67 inches thick while folded, the Giorno is a pocket-sized accessory for the worker on the go. The Giorno comes packaged in a magnetic carrying case that folds back upon itself to become a stand, complete with a slide-out foot to accommodate devices of different sizes. The Giorno itself is a relatively simple device. A single micro USB port charges a lithium-ion battery that can power the keyboard for 220 days of standby and 85 hours of continuous typing. Using the Giorno is also quite simple. Flip open the top sides of the case and it reveals the keyboard. It supports Bluetooth 3.0 and has profiles for iOS, Android, Windows, Windows Phone, OS X, PlayStation, WebOS, Symbian, and many TV boxes, as well as all standard HID-compatible devices. Pressing function C starts the pairing process, and a set of lights at the top center of the keyboard indicates power, pairing, and low battery status. Using the Giorno was surprisingly comfortable. While obviously not a full-size keyboard, the keys have decent travel and a good amount of resistance. I did end up fat-fingering the keyboard quite a bit, but folks with more petite hands should find the Giorno to be just right. In my past experience with fold-up keyboards, the weak point has always been the folding mechanism. Overly complicated foldaways tend to bend, jam, and ultimately break. The folks behind the Giorno kept the mechanism simple, with two hinges and two sets of leaf springs. The end result is that the Giorno is just as good now as it was 3 months ago.
Now let's do some quick pros and cons. On the pro side, it's actually very well designed. It works with pretty much everything. It's going to work with your Windows device, with your Android device, with your Apple device, iOS or OS X. It even works with a PlayStation 4 and, of course, any device that supports a standard HID Bluetooth device. The other pro is it's very well manufactured. I've had problems with a lot of these keyboards falling apart after just maybe the first month, the first week or two of use, because constant stuffing in a bag normally means that a lot of these little mechanisms are going to jam up and you're going to end up with a hunk of metal that doesn't really do what it's supposed to do. They also did a really good job with the carrying case. I mean, I didn't like it at first because they're not connected in any way, shape, or form. But if really what you need is a device that will help you type on the same devices that you tweet or you update your Facebook replies, this is not a bad option. Now let's talk about the cons. The biggest con has to be the price. $99. I mean, that's not outrageous, but I can get a foldable Bluetooth keyboard for between $20 and $50. So this is at least double the price of some of its competitors. Now, this is smaller, and it is lighter, and from what I can see, it is more durable. So that might make up for the price, but again, that's something that you're going to have to decide for yourself. If you're willing to pay quite a bit more for a more premium device, then this might be good for you. The other thing is the keyboard size. It's not bad if you have petite hands. But if you've got fat fingers like me, I was always double keying. And that's going to be a problem. What I would say, try, buy, or don't buy, is I'll give it a buy, but it is a conditional buy. You have to have small hands, and you have to not carry a laptop. Because if you carry a laptop, you're not going to want to whip this out and start typing on your phone. However, if you are one of these people who do not carry a second device, maybe you only carry your phone or your phone and your tablet, then this is a very good companion to have because it means that when you have to do some content-intensive stuff, writing emails or writing long letters or filing reports, this could be a lifesaver. So the Journo Bluetooth keyboard, buy, try, or don't buy? For the reasons why I listed, I'm going to go ahead and give it a buy. Well, that's it for this episode of Before You Buy. I want to thank all of our reviewers for their hard work. Of course, to Leo Laporte. Of course, to Mike Elgin. And of course, to Miriam Jawar. Without them, we wouldn't be able to give you some of the most honest reviews that we can find here at the Twit Brick House. I also want to thank everyone who makes this show possible. Of course, again, to Lisa and Leo, to Karsten, my super producer, and to my technical director, a man who really needs no introduction because he is the cranky hippo, Mr. Brian Burnett. Brian, can you tell the folks where they can find you on the Twit TV network?
Well, they can find me doing Know How with you on Thursdays. We've been doing some summer projects if you want to stay cool. And if you want to follow my other outside of Twit exploits, you can follow me on Twitter at @cranky_hippo.
Don't forget that we do the show every Friday around 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific time or so. live.twit.tv. And as long as you're watching live, jump into our chat room at irc.twit.tv so you can interact with us during the show. Until next time, I'm Father Robert Ballister. This is the Twit TV Network. And remember, you got to watch before you buy.